Holy Spirit a lot of times gives us something in the Old Testament and we're having trouble figuring out what it is. And then he gives us the answer. And that kind of really clearly sets out that saying that what is in the old concealed is in the new revealed. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Now, when you read that back in Acts, go back to Acts 2, where we were looking at that. In verse 16, Acts 2:16, he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he's not saying this is Joel's prophecy being fulfilled. That's not what he says. And basically what he's saying is this, what you're seeing today on this day of Pentecost, he doesn't say it fulfills Joel's prophecy. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In other words, it's just like that which Joel spoke about. It's just a comparison given the when a terrorist blows up a building, you say, man, that's just like 9/11. Right? Uh-huh. But it's not 9/11. See, you're just making that comparison. And that's what Peter is doing in Acts 2. Why do we know that? Well, because as we continue to read, going back to Joel 2:28, it says, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That didn't happen on Pentecost.
Amen.
It wasn't poured out on all flesh. And at no point in the book of Acts is it poured out on all flesh. Hasn't happened yet. Now, it continues and says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And on the scale that this is talking about, hasn't happened yet.
Amen.
It will be fulfilled during Daniel's 70th week. Now, some of the Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh, and some will still reject it, blaspheming God, refusing to repent. Even as they're gnawing their tongues in pain with boils and sores, and they're still not going to repent. Isn't that something?
Yep.
Look at Revelation 7:4. I'll show you who I think the immediate example is. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. Says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the watchtower, the society, Jehovah's Witnesses. No. Says, and 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of
Israel.
Not the church.
Amen.
These aren't Christians. These are Jews in Israel, and they are believers at this point of Jesus Christ. But there's no new birth. They're not. They don't become members of the body of Christ. There's no reference to them being in any church. They're still Jews who are believers in Christ.
Right.
And we are sealed unto the day of redemption, but it's a Holy Spirit seal. He comes in to dwell in us and so forth. This is a seal, it says, and they were sealed in 144,000. And I believe that there's going to be a visible seal. I believe it's going to be something, not only as it does have a spiritual connection to it, but I believe it'll be a physical seal to it. Now look at verses 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Now, I believe these 144,000 are basically evangelists. And in verse 9, this multitude's more than 144,000. These are the converts. These are the people who will believe as a result of the ministry of the 144,000. And there's other, we've studied verse by verse through Revelation. There's other passages that go hand in hand with that. But I believe you're going to have 144,000 Apostle Pauls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Praise the Lord.
And they're going to be running around the world. Now, I did the math when we did the Revelation studies. But if you say there's 7 billion people at this point, you know, the rapture's happened, a lot of people died or whatever. Let's say, just to be conservative, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Then how many would each one of these have to witness to for the whole world to hear the gospel that's preached during the tribulation period? Wow. And you can do the math, and it's doable. Very doable. The reason I say that is because while they're out preaching the gospel and all this is going on, all these other things are taking place, and you're going to have the internet and TV satellites and everything are going to come crashing down. You're not going to have the communications abilities. You might not even have radio. So what do you got? You got 144,000 radios going around for 3.5 years or so, preaching the gospel all over the world.
Like 48,000 people.
So each person would have to preach to 48,000 people in 3.5 years if they do street ministry and go to places where there are crowds. They'll get it done. Yep. And they might, you know, they might still have some TV and radio, and these guys will jump on there and preach the gospel over the radios and TVs or whatever. So back to our text, it says in verse 29, "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, even believers of the lowest classes in society." They're not just going to be saved. It's not talking about being saved here. Anyone can be saved. You don't have to have a certain amount of money or anything like that. You can be saved. But these are people who are going to display the signs. Look at verses 30 and 31. These people, including the lowest classes of society. Read 30 and 31 with me. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." That has not happened on any large scale before. Then, when Jesus was crucified, it's true that the sun was darkened for a period of hours. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a permanent darkening of the sun that'll last for a long period of time and will only be cured by the return of Jesus Christ. See, why is that? Well, the fulfillment is found in Revelation 8. Go look at Revelation chapter 8 and verses 7 and 8. And this is going to read almost exactly like what we just read in Joel 2. Verse 7 says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up." Read verse 8 with me. "And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood." That's exactly what we just read in verses 30 and 31. That the heavens, there'll be wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire that comes with the hail, pillars of smoke, the sun is darkened, the moon turns into blood. And it says that's before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, and that is specifically the part of the day of the Lord when Jesus returns and kills them all. Yeah. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and everybody who has that mark dies. All of his enemies. Look over at Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Just to give you, there's 612, I'm sorry. There's too many examples to run them all, but I just want to run a couple of them. They're in Revelation 6:12. Read that. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." There you have it. Joel 2 is fulfilled in the Old Testament. And so fulfilled in the book of Revelation, it's the Old Testament. 70th. It's the 70th week of Daniel. So verse 32 then says, "And it shall come to pass," now this sounds very familiar, doesn't it? "That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be," what?
Delivered.
Yeah, you'll notice, some of you recognize there's a little change there from what we're used to hearing that verse quoted. But it goes on to say, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be, what again, what's the word?
Deliverance.
Deliverance. As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You see, this refers to physical, bodily deliverance. This is a dispensational issue. And in the dispensation that Joel is referring to is actually the end of the law. The Mosaic law is a dispensation on hold. There's still 7 years left. When Daniel gave his 70 weeks prophecy, he said after the 69th week, Messiah is cut off. And then the 70th week starts when the Antichrist appears and confirms the covenant with many, which will allow Israel to reinstitute the sacrifices in their land, and that hasn't happened yet.
Amen.
So from an Old Testament perspective, you've got this big space between the 69th and 70th week. Now you take all that out, it's right there, 69, 70 week. And yes, it could have just been a short little amount of time, and God could have just saved a handful of people. But in his mercy and long-suffering, he has allowed for 2 millennia.
Amen.
How many hundreds of millions into the billions of people have been saved? We don't know, but we're going to find out.
That's amazing.
And that's, you ask, and I do the same thing. Lord, how long, as the psalmist says. I'm ready to go home, are you?
Amen.
God's got his reasons, and in here, all these people, including you and me, being saved.
Amen.
But at some point, the time will come. That last one's going to be saved when we're going up. And when we go up, then at some point after that, it may be weeks, months, even years. We don't know exactly. I expect probably months. That's my Gregology. But at some point then, after the rapture, I believe the final pope, Revelation 17, 18, listen to our studies there. The final pope will be used to bring the world together as one. He's already tried it over and over, and he'll finally succeed temporarily. And that world unity will enable him, and I think all the other things going on are going to enable him to take total control, which you already see men are trying to do. They want to control your every move, force you into vaccinations, make you do this and do that, only think what they want you to think, only say what they want you to say. It's all being set up. Where once we're the troublemakers, we're the problem.
Yep.
We're removed, and it could really get wild. We talked about it in our Friday night movie.
Yeah.
They were all taken away by aliens. The sperm, what they call it? There's a word for it. There's a no. About aliens planting the seed on the earth. Spermazoria, something like that. I'll think of it tonight when I'm getting ready to go to sleep. But they're going to say, oh, there were aliens who came here and seeded life on the earth, and they saw we were about to destroy the planet, and they took the bad people away. That's us. You know? And so now we're going to have world peace. And the Pope will be standing up there, and one of these Hillsong or Bethel type of Christians will jump there with him, and they'll sing, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. You know, all those songs, you know, imagine there's no heaven, you know, all those songs. There's an Antichrist hymn book already ready to be used. And they're going to have their praise and worship, and they're going to have their and peace and safety, peace and safety. And then sudden destruction. That's what's going on. So it says here, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And you have to remember this is the 70th week, I already said, and ends with the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a dispensational truth. You call on the name of the Lord in this dispensation now where we're at, and you have a new birth.
Amen.
You don't get a physical deliverance unless you're here for the rapture.
Amen.
There is the exception that proves the rule. And there is going to be a generation who is physically raptured. But other than those, everybody who's ever lived is what? Died. Their bodies are buried or burned up or in an ocean somewhere or something. And that body has to be resurrected. You didn't get a promise of physical rescue or deliverance, but that's what happens when it comes to the Jews. Now let's look at that real quick. Romans 10, 9 through 13. Romans 10, 9, very familiar, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now that's in previous study in Joel. We talked about that. But look, it says now in verse 12, in this dispensation it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's not true when Joel is talking. And that's not going to be true in the 70th week. There's no body unified by the new birth or anything like that in Old Testament dispensation. But in this dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God, you can be Jew, white, black, Asian, Native American, help me out, all the other races. You can be any of them, but once you're saved, there's neither Jew nor Greek.
That's right.
Amen.
One in Christ.
One in Christ. And it says now in verse 13, in this dispensation, read it, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not delivered. Not delivered. Now you will receive deliverance at some point. But your promise is to call upon the name of the Lord and to be born again, to receive the Spirit of God, to be baptized into the body. You are now sealed under the day of redemption. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're in the hand of the Father and no man can pluck him from his hand. All those promises belong to you in this dispensation. But if you're a Jew before Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again, or you're a Jew left behind after the rapture, you call upon the name of the Lord to be delivered. You see, the problem is most Jews aren't calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's a small number of sincere believers in Jehovah, Yahweh, but they reject Jesus. Orthodox. But as we read through the scripture, Revelation 12, for example, we see that a third will not die and they will call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Some believe there's grounds, good grounds for this, to believe that when just as they think they're going to be destroyed, they start calling out for Jesus.
Wow.
And there he is.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
And he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And they're going to say, let's go home.
Amen.
Out of Petra. And they're going to run and ride the camels and motorbikes and everything they can get their hands on. And they're all going to go back to Israel and they're going to see it's him whom we pierced. They're not going to recognize him because he looks like Eddie Rabbit. They're going to recognize him because he has the scars. And he's standing right where they know the Messiah. Even rejecting Jesus, they know when the Messiah does come, he's landing on the Mount of Olives. They know that.
Coming through the Eastern Gate.
And that Eastern Gate that's been
walled up
by the Muslims to keep the Messiah out. How dumb is that? He'll go... So dispensational truth, you call on the name of the Lord in the 70th week, supposed to be, and receive entrance into the kingdom. Look over Matthew 25. See, when these people call upon the name of the Lord, they will go into the kingdom. And then anyone who's not a Jew who calls on the name of the Lord, they will be judged and led into the kingdom. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. That's what we've been reading about. At the end of the tribulation, at the end of Joel, we're actually going to see the description of the destruction of that's going to take place in Joel 3 in our next study. But here we're seeing that when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. That's right here on earth. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, so it's good to be a right winger, but the goats on the left. Isn't that funny? Leftists. Verse 34. Then shall the king, is that king capitalized in your Bible?
Yes.
That's Jesus. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Where do they go? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he describes the fact that in their faith, they did what was right. And we don't have time for all that. And I didn't put it up here, I don't think. But I want to jump down. Look what he says then to those on the left hand on verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And he'll describe how they were self-centered, didn't care about anybody, didn't show that they loved others and all that. That was demonstrating their lack of faith. But listen, when Jesus returns, you've got two choices and neither one of them's heaven. When Jesus returns at the end of the 70th week, you either go to everlasting fire or into his kingdom. Mm-hmm. His throne is telling you right there, it's on earth. He will be in, we'll look at it at some point in Ezekiel, the throne, Ezekiel 40 onward, and the massive temple that's going to be built, and he's going to have his throne right there on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, and so forth.
Amen.
And that'll last 1,000 years, but his reign will never end.
Amen.
And so we have a lot more to cover on that in our future studies. But I want you to take that praise book again and turn to page 50 as the musicians come. So born again believers will enter the kingdom, but that is by following Jesus on white horses. We don't enter the kingdom after the judgment that takes place at the end when he returns. We're with him when he returns. We come with him on white horses. We are observers of the judgment that takes place. We'll actually, I believe, dismount our horses and be assigned tasks related to the judgment. You know, we may actually go have to take people and pull them up in front of the king so they can be judged. Some of us might even have to take notes of some way or something. I don't know. But there's different jobs, different tasks. It'll be very real when it happens. And we're described in Revelation 19:14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
That's what a day that will be. Amen.
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 There is coming a day. crushing the serpent, setting men free. Death could not hold you, just as you said. My God, the Savior, arose from the dead. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, in Jesus' name.
On the floor.
These days are evil, the masses rebel, but heaven will conquer and cast them to hell. Nothing can stop you, death cannot win. My God, the victor is coming again. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, in Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.